we begin with what we believe here at Daleville Christian Church. This passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And as one of our elders pointed out, only those who call upon Jesus Christ have their sins taken care of, and they are reconciled. And that is why the sins are not counted against them, because Christ received the punishment for those sins, and we are freed from that punishment. May the Lord be praised. As we look to God's Word on this Pentecost Sunday, and the report on Pentecost is found in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21, we will stop around verse 18. But it's my desire that you who are listening have some experience like the experience that the crowd had on that day of Pentecost. It would be good for you to hear the languages of the Bible. The Old Testament was written down in Hebrew. The New Testament was written down in Greek. In the reading of the Scripture today, you will hear the English portion, then hear a portion of that reading in Greek. Then I will continue in English through the part of the passage of Joel. Then you will hear some of the second chapter of Joel in Hebrew. Then the Greek, the Hebrew, and English together. It was the noise of the languages that brought the crowd together that Pentecost festival day so long ago in the city of Jerusalem. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound came from heaven like the rush of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributed and resting on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues, and the Spirit gave utterance.
Και εν το συμπληρούστε την ημέραν της Πεντηκοστής, ήσαν πάντες ομού επί το αυτό. Και έγινε το άφνο εκ του ουρανού, ήχος ως περφερωμένης πνοής βιαίας, και πλήρωσεν όλων των οίκων που ήσαν καθήμενοι. Και όφθησαν αυτής διαμεριζόμενε γλώσσε ως υπηρός, και εκάθισεν εφένα έκαστον αυτών. Και πλήσθησαν πάντες πνεύματος Αγίου, και ήρξαν το λαλήν εταίρες γλώσσες, καθώς το πνεύμα εδίδου αποφθέγγεστε αυτής.
Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. And they were amazed and wondered, saying, Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, What does this mean? But others mocking said, They are filled with new wine. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel.
Tik'u shofar betiyon, vehari'u behar kotzi, yirgezu kol yoshevei ha'aretz, כי בא יום אדוני כי קרוב, יום חושך ואפלה, יום ענן וערפל, כשחר פרוס על ההרים, עם רב ועצום, כמוהו לא נהיה מן העולם, ואחריו לא יוסף, עד שני דור ודור.
And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, yea, and on my men servants and my maid servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy.
ואחריו תלהט להבה, כגן עדן הארץ לפניו, ואחריו גורים ירוצון, כאנשי מלחמה יעלו.
And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Yea, and on my men servants and my maid servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Here at Daleville Christian Church, we believe that life is way better with Jesus than without Jesus. Life with Jesus is way better than life without Jesus. And being in worship and being in the Word of God is a part of life with Jesus. Jesus went to worship. Jesus was in the Word. We follow Jesus. We have been, since we celebrated Easter, in a series of messages around this theme that life is way better with Jesus than without Jesus. Today we celebrate Pentecost. It was a Jewish festival, but it is now considered the birthday of the Church of Jesus Christ. Jesus, after Jesus was resurrected, Jesus spent 40 days with the disciples teaching them more about the kingdom of God. And although Jesus had instructed the disciples to take the gospel to the world, Jesus instructed them that when he left the earth, Jesus said, wait in the city. Wait in Jerusalem until you receive what God promised. That is the Holy Spirit. The disciples have to wait before going on mission. The disciples have to wait for the Holy Spirit. Still today, we must be sure that we are moving with the Holy Spirit. We forget that we can't really do anything without the Holy Spirit. We can try, but it won't be Spirit-led or Spirit-filled, or it won't have the fruit of the Spirit. It will also wear you out to try and do the Lord's work without the Spirit. I mean, it can be wearing enough to do the Lord's work. So we shouldn't even think about trying to do the Lord's work without the Holy Spirit. I prayed the other day, the moment I woke up. I said, Lord, today isn't too complicated, but I'm still going to have your help. The Holy Spirit came upon the disciples with signs of the manifestation of God, the same ones the prophets talked about. And the crowd there heard these people from Galilee speaking in languages that are not heard in Galilee. I wondered whether I should bore you with some of the details, but decided that perhaps you too would marvel. Marvel even more at what the Holy Spirit accomplished that day if you had a little more information. So I decided to look up the languages listed by Luke here in chapter 2 of Acts. And I will give you a modern equivalent or a language family you might recognize. I admit that a few of you may dread this list in the Bible whenever you come upon it because it's hard enough to say or read in our native English. But there is the list: Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, Cretans and Arabs. The Parthians had a language we would call Arsacid Pahlavi. The Medes' language was a form of Kurdish. The Elamites, whose language was also called Elamite, that language is now extinct. And all three of those languages we would consider Iranian languages. Mesopotamia, and Cappadocia. Those languages probably related to Hittite. Pontus spoke Pontic Greek, which has some Russian in it. Phrygia and Pamphylia, they spoke Phrygian and Old Persian. And in Egypt, at this time, they spoke Demotic Egyptian. In Libya, near Cyrene, they utilized the Berber language. And the visitors from Rome spoke Latin. And Luke tells us that the people who witnessed this event said, "We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own language." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" So the whole thing about language is this, what Peter explains in part, that the disciples are empowered to do what the Lord told them to do. They were empowered to declare the word of God. So we'll go over some basics about what we see and witness in Acts chapter 2. The disciples are told to wait on the Holy Spirit because they cannot do what Jesus wants them to do without the Holy Spirit. That is a reminder to all of us. You know, we cannot figure things out on our own. None of us can. Some of us have tried it. Adam and Eve thought they could figure things out on their own, and look what happened to them. We are their children. Some of us have tried to figure things out on our own. We really didn't get very far, or we wound up in not a nice place. So our Heavenly Father takes pity on us in our lostness, and God reveals things to us that we are never going to figure out on our own. You remember the stories of Moses? Moses was a fugitive because he had killed an Egyptian official. Moses knew that Moses was a Hebrew. Moses ached for his people to be free from slavery in Egypt. Moses was not going to be able to free the slaves on his own. As a matter of fact, Moses couldn't even think of returning to Egypt because he was a wanted criminal. Moses was a refugee, an outcast. But the Lord God revealed himself to Moses. God spoke words to Moses. God spoke to Moses God's plan. Moses had no idea until God revealed God's plan. Moses might have wanted to free his people, but there was no plan, and he wasn't going to come up with this plan, God's plan. God's plan was to send Moses to Egypt to free the Hebrews from slavery. But that plan had to be revealed. Moses received a revelation from God. And as you recall, Moses was not too wild about the plan when God spoke the plan. So we know what was revealed was not Moses' plan, it was God's plan. And this is still true today. I'm not a pastor because I thought this was a good idea. I was only about 12 to 13 years old. How many 12 to 13-year-old boys ever said to themselves, "I'm going to grow up and be a pastor of a church"? Well, not in my generation and not in my town. I asked the Lord what he wanted, and he showed me a man in a pulpit. I was surprised. That idea had never occurred to me. The Lord revealed it to me. There was a point in my life that I, like Moses, argued about the plan that was revealed to me. But it was revealed to me. Now we have a book in the Bible we call and is entitled Revelation. But all of the Bible is a revelation. God spoke things. God spoke his word. We didn't come up with these words on our own. We wrote God's words down eventually. This is how we have Bibles. How we have Bibles in our own language is its own interesting story, but I'm not covering that today. But getting God's revelation in our own language, the English language, is not a pretty story. That story is written in human blood. Now notice what the Holy Spirit inspires the disciples to proclaim. As it says in the book of Acts, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Here are a few other translations of that same verse. We hear them declaring the mighty works of God. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. We all hear these men telling in our own languages about the mighty miracles of God. Yet we all hear them using our own languages to tell the wonderful things God has done. All of us hear them speaking in our own languages about the great things God has done. The word in the Greek means mighty acts or deeds. Can be translated as magnificent works, splendid, grand, even sublime. What those people experienced was a Grand Canyon experience or a Niagara Falls experience. You just stand there in awe. This is what our God does. This is the God we worship. He is a God of mighty acts. Our God is a God of mighty deeds, and on Pentecost there was another mighty deed. And all that Jesus did was a part of God's mighty works. The mighty acts accompany the Messiah, Jesus. And this miracle of Pentecost, this sign, this wonder, points to God. Jesus' word is proven in the coming of the Holy Spirit, for Jesus said it was going to happen. And this event itself is the initiation of the church into its mission, empowered for its mission. Recall that in the waters of the Jordan River, John, who baptized, declared, I baptize you with water, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So Jesus initiated the church with the coming of the Holy Spirit, and as we see in this scene in Jerusalem, the Holy Spirit is not given to one person, person to person. And American Christians need to hear this. The Holy Spirit is not an individual experience. The Holy Spirit is a group experience. It unifies. The Holy Spirit breaks down barriers. The Holy Spirit overcomes the language barrier. And the Holy Spirit is a gift. The Holy Spirit is not for sale. It cannot be purchased at any price. The Holy Spirit is not under our control. It isn't the church's desire to be in control. It is the church's desire to be controlled. It is the church's desire to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. The church desires to be led by, directed by, instructed by, counseled by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a revealer, a discloser, and the Holy Spirit is in you and you and you and you and in me. Not one of us, but all of us who call upon the name Jesus as Lord and Savior. Led by the one mind of Christ, with the Holy Spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. But churches have trouble with this, and Paul had to write to the church, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. And then again, that was from 1 Corinthians, and then again from Romans, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. One mind, one voice. And then again in Ephesians, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. Now it's not a sameness, but it is a oneness, which is given us by the Holy Spirit. It's not a sameness, for we are all gifted differently. We are all different, and yet we are one. The Holy Spirit is a centripetal force on all of us to keep us together. Centrifugal forces pull us apart. The Holy Spirit is pushing us together the whole time. The world and Satan pull us apart. We are caught in the middle until Christ comes again. It was Jesus' own prayer that you and I have the Holy Spirit control us in unity. As we read Jesus' prayer in chapter 17 of John, I have given them the glory that you gave me. It's talking to the Heavenly Father. I have given them, that is the disciples, the glory that you gave me, Heavenly Father, that they may be one as we are one. I in them, you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. We have examples of unity in our own nation, the United States. Continues to be 50 states, and yet united. And what holds us together as a nation? A flag? A constitution? Freedoms enjoyed nowhere else on the planet? And it took a war 150 years ago, a civil war, to keep us united. Well, the Lord will not fight us to keep us from leaving each other. However, the Holy Spirit is grieved, as they say, when we separate. And then we leave Jesus' prayer unfulfilled when we separate. And we are not operating out of the same Spirit, are we? A sports team is united by what? School spirit? Player contracts? The uniform? The desire to win? The commitment to do one's best? What unites people in our society? Shared interests? Shared passion? Shared goals? The church is united by the Holy Spirit. We read in the book of Revelation that the devil or Satan leads the world astray. Revelation 12:9. The Holy Spirit does not lead us astray. Satan does. The Holy Spirit leads us. We have different gifts, but the same Holy Spirit, working for the same person, the Lord. The Apostle Paul confronted a sorcerer. It's mentioned in the book of Acts, chapter 13. And this is what the apostle said to the sorcerer. You are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? We are led in the ways of the Lord by the Holy Spirit. We are to be led by the Lord through the Holy Spirit in the ways of the Lord. We are led in the right ways of the Lord by the Holy Spirit. The devil would pervert that. The devil would pervert those ways, and the devil is an enemy of what is right. We celebrate today this Pentecost, this Lord's initiation of the church's mission through and by the Holy Spirit given us through Jesus Christ. Jesus left the earth so the Holy Spirit could come to us. You and I are called to wait on that Holy Spirit. Do the Holy Spirit's bidding. Let us do nothing of our own mind, but the mind of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.